Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it, all that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment, and it's my pleasure again to bring my brother Sheldon back for the second part of the interview that we had initiated in the previous podcast, and I'm having a lot of fun doing these interview with my brother. Because he was one of the persons that was instrumental in helping me get the courage to step out and to do the podcast. So I'm really excited. And this one, I wanted him to talk a little about his story, because that was the catalyst that caused me to bring him on, because I realized that in hearing his story that it is much of what we talk about here and Threads of Enlightenment, about our journey to get to where we want to get to achieve our dreams. And I know he had talked a little about low self-esteem and all these different things that we had talked about. But let me bring him on, and we'll go from there. Hey, Sheldon, how are you doing? Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment.
All right, thank you. Hey, I can even give myself an applause.
Oh, man, that's good. That's good to hear from you again, bro.
Yeah, thank you. I just confessed I didn't hear the first release, and I'm like, I'm waiting till after this one. I'm going to listen to them both.
I'm getting good feedback from all the people that have been listening to it, contacted me and tell me that it was good to hear your story. So I know I had mentioned that you'd come back and tell us some more of your journey and how you got to all the different places through your journey. We talked about the solitude part of it, that you had given them advice of how to come out of that, how to recognize you're there, and how not to be afraid of being there.
Yeah, and truly the story behind all that and the lessons is things that we all get. We all get lessons in life, and we pass it on to whoever will ask us. And we're like, yeah, this is some of the things that I did to help me get out. But it is, it's everyone's path, right? We got to figure out everyone's path. I could only give them a little bit of what worked for me, and then they'll have to figure out what works for them, even down to scheduling. But truly, that's how I'm grateful that everyone got a kick out of the first episode.
Excellent. So give us a little backstory as to the young gentleman, Sheldon, and what caused him to move from a secure position in the sense that how we are taught to live. You know, you come out, you get this job, you find your secure job, then you get your wife or husband and the kids, the white picket fence, and all those other things. And you had achieved much of that. And then you looked at it and go, well, I think I need some more.
Yeah, it wasn't enough. I wasn't ready yet. Yeah, well, I would say from looking at where I am currently as a consultant to consultants, especially those in the safety field, the start of entrepreneurship has been started, you know, way, way back in all of us. I remember of like in the 80s, I fancied myself as a young Michael P. Keaton. You remember him? Family Ties, who was I forgot the actor, that was just amazing at the time for me, because I was always thinking, you know, I am going to be the black version of that. I remember saving money. I remember sometimes I had to lend money to the older brothers and sisters. And I'm like, yeah, here I am, businessman.
I remember idols was the CEO of Disney World, Walt Disney.
Lee Iacocca.
Yeah.
At the time in the 80s, Lee Iacocca for Chrysler was the man.
Was mine. You know, I was fascinated in how he changed the mindset of the people. And, you know, it was the same set of people. He didn't fire all these people. Mm-hmm. He just took the same set of people and took them from a failed company to a successful company. And so I talk about him a lot of time.
Yep. And I remember reading his book about I Am Iacocca, I believe it is, or Iacocca. And at that time, I was like, that's what I wanted to be. So I always had that thread in there. The thing that I was missing, though, I had the drive, but I didn't have the experience yet. So the life experience is what really kicked everything in, because truly, when I was starting to get of age of working, I picked up jobs until I got married and divorced. Yeah. You know, that whole situation with the marriage and divorce. And then all of a sudden, you know, in between my first wife and my current wife of 24 years, we're tipping the scale there.
Congratulations.
I know, it's pretty awesome. But between that time period, I was like, all right, get my act together. I started looking for a job, and that's when I got hired on full time with City of Orlando. With the young legs, young back, I was jumping off of the garbage trucks and picking up the garbage and putting it in. And still then, I was temporary, so I needed to get a full-time gig. So after I figured out the full-time gig, and they allowed to hire from the temp pool, and I got into wastewater, then I actually liked that field because it it spoke to my science and my math. And I figured if dirty water comes in, I do some magic treatment and all of a sudden clean water leaves this facility. I kind of like the science behind this thing. And I got hooked up in that. And I just wanted to keep getting better. I just wanted to keep advancing because it's going to give me pay for my new family. And I was working midnights too. So a big chunk of my career, I don't know if you remember, like 8 years worth of working on midnight shift, that just messes up your mind, your body, your health, everything. It's just you're stuck. And when people are supposed to be sleeping, you're awake. And when people are awake, you're sleeping. And it was a mess.
I remember we had to adjust according to your schedule to visit and stuff like that. And
that's true.
I remember all the crazy stuff with your schedule.
Yeah, so I honestly, I always had two driving forces. One was just advance, not only for the money, but you want to advance so you could, you know, keep going up with, for me, just making where I could feel better about another accomplishment. So I guess if you're thinking about Herzberg's theory of motivation, he basically says there's two types of motivation. One is intrinsic and one is extrinsic. The intrinsic motivation says that I am doing this thing because I'm going to feel satisfied when I get it accomplished. Internal. External is I am going to do this thing because I'm going to get a position, or I'm going to get some sort of accolade or something in the society that makes me feel better about myself. So external. So those two goals for me was constant. I had internal goals of wanting to go back to school, get my bachelor's and then my master's. And then I had external goals that says, if I do these things, I can also get a raise. And then I could also provide for the family. So those are some of the things I had to struggle with is, and thank goodness I have a supportive wife, because every time I'm like, you know, Hannah had an idea. Let me go back to school. She's like, okay. And then she knows that we're going to be working around childcare and everything else. And then I'm like, you know what? I want my master's. Like, okay. So now we know it's going to be another thing. But that was one of the goals. The other one was, and just to be frank and to be honest, in order for me in my life and also the time where I was working for a government entity and kept going into government jobs, education was one way that I could set myself apart from other people so I could get in positions. And if you don't know, in the U.S., there is still a big thing with race, and it's global. It's not just the U.S., but in Florida, as well as also being in the U.S., I had a tough time going up. I could get promoted to a certain level. Now, once you get to a certain level, this was an expectation that, for your race and for your person,
this is a good level for you,
you know? You're getting a good salary and you're comfortable. You see other people that looks like you at this level, and that's where the expectation was. And I used the inner drive to push past that, to says, I got to break this somehow. I'm going to do it by personality. I'm going to do it by drive. I'm going to do it by dedication. Mm-hmm. If I got to be the funniest guy in the room, I don't care. I'm going to do something to advance past this invisible wall or ceiling. And that actually was a driver to me for almost every major change, had a component of race. And I know everyone's going to have their own component, but for me, that was what was the catalyst, the driver that says, you know, man, I am not being valued in this area. I know it's because if I was a lighter shade of melon or less melon in my pigment, then I probably would get this position. And even to the point where I made the highest position and that I was going to go, I got my master's to get even higher. It was a point where truly I was the lesser of my peers. And the only constant was, or I should say the only difference was my color. So truly I found out later on that all my other peers in the same level of me were given vehicles to take home, which I've always seen, but they never paid for it, nothing like that. I asked for mine, and they're like, oh, you don't want one anyway. You're going to have to pay for your insurance. It's not all what it's cracked up to be, is the answer I got. Exactly. That was truly the answer I got. What? I ended up just like, after a while, and then a new administrator came in, and he was the good old boy system, and I got burnt out, and I said, I'm going to either settle with living a life with little indignities every single day, giving up a piece of myself every single day just to get a check that I know if I give myself the same kind of value system or even more, I could probably do better than this very good check I was making, but I would have my own worth, my own intrinsic motivations. And now in this case, it turned out to be a business. And that's the, let's say, the special sauce behind what I'm doing now is when I got the drive connected with two other things. One was the motivation, both intrinsic and extrinsic. And then the other thing was I had to keep giving myself opportunities. Let's learn something new. Let's do something new. Let's push something to something new. And those little three things together is like a three-footed stool. Mm-hmm. And if you were to take out the drive, I would go stagnant. You take out the actual me doing self-development, I'll go stagnant. And then, of course, the other leg of that tool, of that stool, would truly be my motivation. If I stop being motivated, I'll go stagnant. So that was the long and short, the catalyst of what kept me pushing, kept me going.
I know your story is very common in from the Black person side of the conversation, because I remember Dad telling us some of those type stories. I've encountered some of those type stereotypical things that people look at us as. And maybe some of our audience, even because they are female, they would encounter some of perception of who you are and so forth. And so
expectations, they expect you to be like this.
And so they expect you to behave and act a certain way. And, you know, they're talking about, and it's absolutely unfair as far as I'm concerned, equal pay for a person that does the same work, whether it's a Black person or a female person. We're talking about equal pay. If you're qualified for that, then you ought to receive the same pay. And so, as Sheldon was talking about, it's these internal forces that are, if you were listening, were driving him based on some of the external forces that was pushing on him as well. And between that particular inertia, forces pushing back and forth, he had to make some decisions and to decide, okay, am I going to submit or am I going to become a fighter and push a little farther, whether it's through training, whether it's through you're getting different degrees, whatever it is, you know, you just have to keep moving.
Yeah. And that's the truth. It's just constantly, it's life, isn't it? When you really start thinking about it, if you are living, and this is saying you looking at your day from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, it is a asset, and as well as it is a resource that is not infinite. We're not going to always have the mornings and the sunrises and sunsets. So therefore, everything that you put in between the sunrises and sunset is life. And I am trying to figure out how do we make this life where I am having fun every moment, including work. And now that is when you are in nirvana, where even if you're working a job that you're clocking in and out of, but you're having fun and you're enjoying it, you're putting that sunrise to sunset to the best of your ability for that moment. And that was my life for a long time. And then an awakening, an epiphany happens for me that says, I want a little bit more of this paradigm. And it's not happy, basically, what it boils down to. I'm not happy anymore from this sunrise to this sunset. And it's been too many of those sunrise and sunset groupings that I've just went through that I haven't been truly happy. What do I need to do next? And that was the catalyst to truly figuring out what excites me. And then also, what can I do to actually make physical dollars right now, because you need to think of the practical things. And then from there, how do I plan to get the physical dollars for next month, 2 months, 3 months? And that little balance over there is right now thinking, future thinking. And you kind of have to get that balance without going out of kilter and get yourself burnt out.
Exactly. And I know I had outlined in the book certain things like, and those chapters in those books are basically exactly what happened to me, because I had to go through the aspect of self-love, respecting myself enough to want more, having the faith to believe, as you mentioned in the last interview, having the faith to believe that I deserve more. These are all the conflicts and conversation that you have to have in yourself. And that's in your place of solitude. When you begin to probe yourself, you begin to ask questions, you begin to get insights, you begin to... I grew there, man. That's where I grew, and I gained a lot of perspective. And I realized in my solitude that the key to all of it was my perspective. If I control my perspective of how I looked at a situation, I can conquer that situation.
And for you, I'm not too sure how much your audience knows your background. Maybe I should preface that one. But Ken came from a time where when he had his kids were young and they're all four in a row, you know, they're, you know, their steps as far as age groups and truly a wife, like, not only was she stealing money, like taking it out of the account, but, you know, the kids weren't getting met. And he says, hey, I'll keep paying you. Just give me my kids. You obviously can't take care of them. I will help you. Let's take care of the kids. I will, you know, our children first. So I'll still pay you our supposed alimony that was just an agreement between you guys. And, you know, then truly that day you got two, and the following day you got the other two. And then that's what, early 30s, I recall?
I was 35 when I went through my divorce when it was finalized. And my sons are grown men. I have four boys.
In their 30s.
They're all in their 30s. Gentlemen that I'm very proud of what they have done with their life. And I got a chance to be a spectator. And that's all I am right now, a spectator. Mm-hmm. I did the single dad thing, made a lot of mistakes because no one has given us a catalog or some kind of things to do that. But,
And also kids will try you.
But, you know, you do the best you can with the knowledge that you have. And your hope is that the next generation will learn a little more than you had and take it a little further to take that your family to a different level. And so it's just a baton that is passed from one generation to another. So as you gain insight, as you gain little nuggets, the hope is that you would now deposit that into your children, and they still have to find their own path. I mean, they can only take the information, because my dad was trying to get us to do certain things and we didn't do it. You know, I had to find own path. So Sheldon has to find his path. It was totally different from mine.
Yeah.
My brother, Mark.
Well, if I did what they wanted, I would be in the ministry right now as a missionary somewhere, you know, in deep Africa.
We all would have been somewhere in deep Africa, I think.
And I love you, some Africa, you know, in Kenya and Zaire, which is Republic of Congo now. But truly, I think especially what you just said there is again, part of life, where we're all seeking immortality in some way. We want to make our mark in some way. So that's one of the reasons why I started the podcast. You know, imagine my kids being able to play different episodes of me to their grandkids and then their great grandkids and their great great grandkids. Mm-hmm. It says, hey, here is your great 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 grandpa Sheldon. You could see his YouTube video. You could hear his podcast. And now, you know, in a way, now I'm immortal to my line of the family. They'll always be able to see something from me. So that in itself is so powerful in the thought process of what is this sunrise to sunset today going to be like, where maybe someone will have a story about me 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, long after, you know, my ashes are spread or in a jewelry for my kids to remember me, you know, long be after that.
Yeah. One of the things that I, personally, I know it happened. Sheldon and I and my brother Mark, we had an opportunity sometime last year to sit down with our dad. And we taped him. We were going to try and put some together to create a podcast with it. That's what I had grabbed Sheldon. I said I wanted to sit down and talk to our dad. And from that conversation, we had a 3+ hour conversation with him. And he was telling us specific stories that we remembered as kids, but we remember it from our point of view, but we never understood his point of view. What was driving him to do what he did, as we saw how he did. And it was, for me, Sheldon, it was very profound. I got a better understanding of our father from that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And even like, I remember he mentioned something, and this is for you guys listening right now, we're in 2021 and time of this recording, the time that we recorded my dad. And I brought my board. I've got a Rodecaster Pro board, and I hooked up three mics there, and we had him on a headset mic in his bed, and me and Ken are on our own mic. And then my brother Mark called in, and I patched him in through the board. So all three of us were able to talk to my dad. And during that time, there was actually the breaking news about the immigration in the U.S., where the former president of the administration there were getting kids at the border, and then the children were being separated. And it was a big issue in the States during that time. And I know they're still trying to, you know, reel from that and get that right. But I think 100 of those families are reunited as of now in 2021, which is great. And they're going to try to do more. But my dad mentioned, since he was an immigrant, and my mom, and in cases they were undocumented, at times. So I just had a strong feeling of, if what was happening now in this climate was happening then, we probably would have such a different life, because either one of our parents would have gotten mm-hmm. deported, or both, and then not be able to get back possibly, or get back further. But then also the other thing was, it gave me such a understanding of how strong they needed to be to make this decision in the '70s, coming into a politically charged community with black and brown people's initiative in the '60s, late '60s is when they were coming in, had me as 71. So during that time period, we asked them about racism. Yeah. We asked them yep. about the other things. And, some of the stuff that really stuck to me was, being black in America during that time period, everyone assumed that you were American black as opposed to Caribbean black. They didn't know your culture, your history, or anything else, your drive or anything like that. But my parents made the concerted effort to, we are going to live our lives like this, and this is our standard as opposed to other standards. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be judged according to that. And he said he always kept his eyes on the prize of, I'm getting my family to America. I don't care what else is happening. I'm getting my family to America.
And he told us some stories that mythology that we heard as kids, and it was actually true of how we got to the United States. It was a financial windfall that my dad had at the time, and it caused that to have him bring us over. And I remember mom talking about stories also when they had to hide at work when the immigration people were coming, and how they deported some of the people. And she was always, she felt that God was always leading her. Before they showed up, she felt God would say, do this, do that. And she was obedient enough to that. Every time she did it, she was the one that got away.
Yeah, and that's just powerful when you really think about the action that a person did to say, I need to better mm-hmm. myself, or find a way to make my next generation
get better.
That's the plight. That's the same thing we're just talking about. We want to try to make sure that as we're coming up, we learn things, and then when we learn them, pass it on to our kids so they can learn it, pass it on to our grandkids, and you know, let it keep going. And that was what, you know, they were struggling. They were going outside of the law, breaking that little box that we've got that says immigration rules for those reasons. And I know we need immigration rules. I'm not saying that we've got to flood the country, but there's got to be some happy medium where the Statue of Liberty and the inscription on that still stands today, but in some modernized system that would be fair, that would be something that we could model. I'm sure there's other countries doing it, so find that and model it. You know, that's like every business. You find a role model, you see if you could get some coaching, and then now you build on what you just got coached on.
That's how a lot of the those guys are making money. You model yourself after them, and then you step out and follow the model. And so as you hear Sheldon and I having our conversation, the thing that is over and over is that you have to find something big to motivate you, whatever it is, your family, the love of your family, the fact that you want your family to have a better, passing of the baton, if you will, whatever that thing is for you, grab hold of it and don't stop. I mean, if it's to get your schooling, get your schooling. If it's to move to a different job, move to a different job. Sheldon, he was in a secure job, and he moved from that to take a step into an industry for him that was not as secure. He has to build his business. He has to come up with clients. But those bills are still there. So you have to find what that motivation is to help you conquer your situation, because the bills are not going to change. But you make the change, and you're finding your way through as you navigate to this new path that you're creating, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I truly believe, as the saying goes, you know, a lot of people will say you gotta spend some money to make some money. And that's true. I actually believe that that's true, but, it goes beyond just money. It's like, you have to take a chance in order to get big chances to come back at you. It's like a law of, I forget what it is, that there's one of the principles where basically you have the intention, the law of intention. So you have to make sure that you got the intention to do it. That's the good start. That sets the energy in motion. And then after that, you still got to start. You still got to do it. Still got to do podcast one. You still got to, you know, make that first bid and fill out that bid opportunity or whatever you're going to do with your business. Then that's putting some action to the intention. Get those two things together and life can begin to change.
Excellent. Sheldon, I want to thank you, man, for coming and spending some time with us at Threads of Enlightenment. I do appreciate it, man.
Well, no, it was great. Thank you. Here, I'm going to pop some champagne for us.
I think I'll drink some of that. Celebrate. Yeah. But again, it was an honor for me to bring my brother on, because he was instrumental in helping me to start my journey in the podcasting arena. And I still call him for advice. I call him to strategize all these different things. So find your team as you begin your journey. Sheldon will tell you, because I know he has his team, including his wife, absolutely, and some other mentors in his field and outside of his field. Yeah.
Yep. And that's the key. That's a good point. I know we're throwing some extra here. When you're in Louisiana, they call that lanyap, which is like a big dozen, where you get one extra thing you didn't expect. So here's some lanyap for you. The team aspect is great. And it's, if you even go to Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, the mastermind concept, or the group who are together and you're all seeking the same thing. You may not be in the same industry, but you're in the same mentality of growth, your same mentality of change, the same mentality of business acumen, whatever it is, the group of you get together and you're going to hold each other accountable, mm-hmm, which is the key. But then you're also going to exchange ideas from different views. And together, that mastermind concept is going to grow your business. And don't worry about trying to fabricate a group. They're going to come to you. The only thing is you're going to have to formalize it later on or something. Formalize it just means, you know, truly you guys are going to have to put it in the calendar when you're going to meet. But other than that, they'll keep coming to you. All of a sudden, you'll be talking to someone, you know, hey, this is the fourth time this week I called Ken, and man, we should really just get together and just strategize over things. I just like the way we have synergy together, and that's how it'll
Excellent.
Work.
Well, this is, as Sheldon said, you got your helping, and it's time for us to try and let you guys go. I appreciate you coming to Threads of Enlightenment and listening. encourage your friends and your family to listen to the podcast. You can get it at any or all of the major podcasting companies, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all of those different places you can get it to listen to. And at this site, it's my intention that we would have these conversations with other people so that we can learn of all the different principles so that you and I can grow and enjoy in our journey. And as always, enjoy the journey. Until next time. Thanks, Shel. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more. Everyone who's listening to this podcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more.